Blog Talk Radio.
Shepherd, shepherd, gentle shepherd, show me how to go. Help me, guide me to green pastures, to the blinding snow. Little lambs can go astray.
Somehow I think we have missed the impact of resurrection because it's sort of lost in bunnies and eggs, which have nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus. Even the very word we use, Easter, of course I don't use it very hardly, relates back to the egg, which relates back to Astarte, or we call her Diana. She's the goddess of heaven, the fertility goddess. Not about Jesus. And so, that's why we've been emphasizing, it's resurrection, the celebration of the resurrection. But it has nothing to do with Christ. But that, I think, is the obvious part. The part that is not so obvious to us is our sometimes religious fervor to overcome sin and lust and flesh and the world. And we work at an impossible task. And we will forever be frustrated. And I think all of us know this, because the harder you work at it, the worse it gets. That's because it can't be done. And the reason it can't be done is because God already did it. Again, grammar time. Notice, what does Peter say? He said, we have become partakers of divine nature. What's the next phrase? It says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Having escaped. That means It's a finished, done deal. Having escaped. We would call it in English just plain past tense. The Greeks have two past tenses. This means a past action to not ever be repeated. But with continually in force, having escaped. It is not our job to work at escaping these things because we have already escaped. And now as the sons of God, it is our privilege, our opportunity to walk out that reality. John tells a little later in his book, that which overcomes the world is what? Our faith. Not my feverish activity. But faith is believing God and acting on that faith. Believing God and acting on it. Just like with resurrection. All right? We weren't there. None of us was in the garden. None of us saw the empty grave. Maybe if you visited in Israel, you may have seen two possible graves. One is the garden tomb, and one is buried in a little cave under what is called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. But whichever one you went to go to look for, you won't find Jesus. Because he's alive. And so we believe that. We confess that. Now God is saying, now the next step is, act on it. You have been made a new creature in Christ. You are a son of God. And that's pretty impressive, isn't it? It's an awesome thing. God chose you. God chose me as his son. He made all the provision so that we now share his genetic makeup. We have become partakers of divine nature. We are the sons of God. But you know, once we begin making that kind of confession, that's when we get into trouble with especially religious people. That's when Jesus got in trouble with religious people. I mean, they didn't, you know, they weren't all that, they were impressed with the works he did. He's, you know, they all said, we can't deny he does wonderful works. It's just that he can't keep the calendar straight. But that he did a marvelous task is undeniable. But that's not what they pinned on him. They say, we want to get him for blasphemy because he claims to be the Son of God. And I think it's always been that way. When we begin to walk in the reality of sonship, that's when we get religious people coming against us. So be so convinced of who you are that it doesn't matter who comes against you, you will stand. We sang that, didn't we? I stand on this. I stand on this. I stand on this. Sometimes we sing a song, standing on the promises. Stand on them. But then sometimes it is as I read, people might sing, standing on the promises, but they're only sitting on the premises. I get up. No more sitting. It's time to move on. So being the sons of God is a marvelous, wonderful thing. But you know what does he say? It's not the end of the road. There's still more. There's still more. There's more beyond. And it says it has not been revealed what that is. It is so great, it is so wonderful that we don't want to miss it. And all it gives us this clue that when we see him, we shall be exactly like him. because we're going to see him for who he really is. You know, Jesus is a whole lot more than we've ever said, isn't it? We say he's our Savior, he's our healer, he's our King, he's our Lord. We can go through all of these things. He's more than all of that. He is more than all of that. We then begin to see him for who he really is. Then, let me remind you, what else does the Bible say? As he is, so are we in this world. This resurrection business is an awesome thing. It's not just somebody dying and getting up from the dead and how wonderful that is, but the fact is, it changes everything. So what comes next? We're not sure. But as we lose ourselves in God, we get glimpses into what lies ahead. And the reality of what we glimpse ahead is that God is all. It's the reality of this holy city, which is not some town. But it says he saw the bride. It was a city coming down out of God, out from God, out of heaven. So, God is all. He's always been all. He's always going to be all. It says in 1 Corinthians that in the end, when everything is accomplished, God will be all. And as we've said, you know, what's the first verse in the Bible? In the beginning, God. Revelation ends that same way. In the end, God. You know what that really means? He's God in the middle as well. So as we live this hope, John tells us, we purify ourselves as he is pure. Well, is that another one of those conditions or that we can't accomplish? It simply means that since we now have this life of God within us, we just naturally live out that life. Just like this plant, you know. He never did any exercises to try to become a lily. He is a lily. Why is he a lily? Because he is. It's that simple. And you can't do any exercise to become the Son of God. God did all of that. And I am his child today because not only did God say so, but God made me so. And there's more. And so that purity is just a natural outflowing of that life of God that's within us. And it comes because Jesus suffered, died, rose again, that he might bring many sons into glory.